Good afternoon, everyone, or good evening, I guess, now that the sun's gone down. It's good to be here with you all. We're going to start off with a couple of hymns, as we have begun to do here recently. And before we do that, I'd like to open us up in prayer, and then we'll sing together. So let's pray. Father, it's good to be here with your people, to study your word, to sing, to pray, and to have fellowship with one another. I pray that you would bless this time together, that you would help Jack as he teaches, that you would sustain him by your grace, that you would teach us all from your word, and that our worship would be something that is pleasing to you. Please sanctify us in truth. Your word is truth, and it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, if you want to grab a hymnal, I'm going to turn to number 70. It's All Creatures of Our God and King. Has anyone ever sang that song before? All Creatures of Our God and King? So, number 69, there is another version, which I believe is the original. But number 70, what we're going to sing tonight, is the one I have grown accustomed to. So, as we've been doing here in the last few months, I'm just going to do one song that might be new to some of you, and then one that we're familiar with. This is All Creatures of Our God and King. And the goal is that eventually we'll be singing this together on the Lord's Day with the whole congregation. So I feel like you'll pick up on it pretty quick. Number 70, All Creatures of Our God and King. All creatures of our God and Hallelujah. Let all things their Creator bless, and worship Him in humbleness. Oh, praise Him. Hallelujah. Praise, praise the Father, praise the Son, and praise the Spirit, three in one. Oh, praise Him. Oh, praise Him. Hallelujah. 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 All the redeemed washed by His blood, come and rejoice in His great love. Oh, praise Him. Hallelujah. Christ has defeated every sin. Cast all your burdens now on Him. Oh, praise Him. Oh, praise Him. Hallelujah. 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 He shall return in power to reign. Heaven and earth will join to say, oh, praise Him. Hallelujah. Then who shall fall on bended knee? All creatures of our God and King, oh, before the throne of God above, I have a strong and perfect plea, a great high priest whose name is love, whoever lives and pleads for me. My name is graven on His hands. My name is written on His heart. I know that while in heaven He stands, no tongue can bid me thence depart. No tongue can bid me thence depart. When Satan tempts me to despair, and tells me of the guilt within, upward I look and see Him there. who made an end to all my sin. Because a sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free. For God the just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me. To look on him and pardon me. Behold him there, the risen Lamb, my perfect spotless righteousness, the great unchangeable I am, the King of glory and of grace. One with himself I cannot die, my soul is purchased by his blood. My life is hid with Christ on high, with Christ my Savior and my God. With Christ my Savior and my God. One with himself I cannot die, my soul is purchased by his blood. My life is hid with Christ on high, with Christ my Savior and my God. With Christ my Savior and my God.
Thank you, Brother Aaron. Boy, that's a great message to that song. That ought to encourage all of us. My name is graven in his hand. It's a wonderful thing to know that you are in Christ Jesus. It is a thing that gives you great peace, great hope, unmatchable love, and calms your spirit. And I hurt for those who don't know that, because it is such a wonderful thing that we have in Christ. As we were this morning, we're going to be in 1 Timothy, chapter 4. And we're looking at the scriptures here. What we're looking at, Paul has already warned them about, as he has addressed the issue of the things that are wrong there in the church at Ephesus and what Timothy's going to have to deal with there in that church. And when he comes to the fourth chapter, he is identifying the fact that there are some people within the church that are going to depart. In fact, there are some people within the church that needs to depart because of the false teaching, because of the problems that are going on within the church. There's decisions that Timothy's going to have to make that aren't easy, but necessary, need to be done. And then there are others that will leave because of deception, because of temptation, because of false doctrine, because of different reasons that are going on there. And all through Scripture we've seen this. As I read from Deuteronomy this morning, as we read from there concerning a certain town that God had told Israel to go into and to destroy, kill everyone there, destroy all their possessions, and literally make an example of them. And what we find in the Old Testament over and over again is God trying to preserve his people Israel in such a way that they are recognized as following God and different than any other nation on the face of the earth. One problem they had was intermarrying with other nations that worship false gods. And as he addressed this matter of false teaching there in Deuteronomy 13, I believe it was, and he addressed this issue there, It would seem to go to extremes, but what we have to understand was that was a necessary judgment for that time and that place and that circumstance. And that's what we see there in Deuteronomy, as as they were instructed of God in what they should do. And we see in different places in the Old Testament where if someone was caught in adultery or murder or whatever, they were taken into the public square and they were stoned in public where everybody could see. In other words, it made an example of them in breaking the law of God that everyone could see and everybody would understand that when the law is broken, there are consequences. And that prevents a lot of things that would happen from happening. In our world today, many times people escape the circumstances. But there's coming a day when the King of Glory is coming back to right every wrong and to establish righteousness on the earth. And judgment will be swift and it will be just and it will be sure, because there will be a theocracy on earth and the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords will rule the earth from his throne in Jerusalem. And that's the day we're all looking forward to. But as we look at the scriptures in this, as we look here in verse 1 of chapter 4, it says, the Spirit clearly says, and in some translation it would say, the Spirit expressively says, or what we have is a word from God telling us that this is something that, first of all, we should not be surprised of. When God shows us something that has happened in the Old Testament and will happen in the New Testament, we should not be surprised when it happens. And so when God tells us something, it's not just, well, in passing, I'm going to tell you this. It is something that the Spirit of God is saying to the church and to the people, you can expect this to happen sometimes. And so the Bible says clearly here, the Spirit clearly says, that in the latter times, or the last time, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teaching come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared with a hot iron. They forbid people to marry and order them to abstain from certain foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and who know the truth. For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the word of God and prayer. And let me say this. What I am overwhelmed by is the goodness of God. When we sit down to eat, we realize that that which we have is from the goodness of God. If you are married or have been married, and we'll talk about later on if we get to it tonight, what they forbid in marriage and what they're talking about here. But when I look at my wife, what I see is the goodness of God. What I see is all these years that God has given us together. And one of the best things I can do when I'm feeling sorry for myself and having a pity party is to get out pictures and look at those pictures and go back and remember all these times that God has given us together. We've traveled all over the United States with bus trips. We've been on 5 cruises. We've been in all the islands that you would care to go through in the Caribbean. We've been in all these places together. And God has given us all these times and all these memories, and it is the goodness of God. And so Sometimes we have to reflect back on how God has blessed our lives. And as it says here, we see that and we respond to that with thanksgiving. We respond to that with thanksgiving because of the goodness of God. Now, to understand better what we're talking about here, we're going to the book of Matthew, the 13th chapter. And that'll give us a little more light on what we're talking about here too. In the 13th chapter of the book of Matthew, and we'll begin in the first verse of the 13th chapter of the book of Matthew, the parable of the sower. Matthew 13, verse 1. This is what the word of the Lord says. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, and where it did not have much soil, it sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear. So in only one verse here do we see a changed heart. In only one verse here do we see that the Spirit of God has changed a heart. And that is called salvation. It is impossible for a holy God to change your heart, for Christ to come and indwell you with the Holy Spirit and your heart not be changed. And it is an impossibility for you to continue to follow the Lord Jesus Christ unless your heart has been changed. Because we will see over and over again, as is explained on the parable of the sower here, we will see in our midst sometimes people make a profession of faith, but it doesn't last very long. They are there, and then they seem to be gone. I remember an instance where we had a man in our church, and he had an accident on a horse. And the doctor told him, because of the way the bone was broken in his leg, that it had to grow perfectly into a certain spot or he would be crippled the rest of his life. He came into our church and made a profession of faith, was baptized, and the church prayed for him. And that bone grew exactly as it had to grow for him to be able to walk and not be crippled. It wasn't long after that till we saw him no more. So many times we see people like the seed that sprang up. They have characteristics of a Christian in that they know how to act, they know what to say, they know all these things. We call it the perseverance of the saints, but really what it is a perseverance of the Spirit. Because unless your heart has been changed and the Spirit of God lives in you, you will not persevere. You will not persevere. It is only those who have Christ in their hearts, born again by the Holy Spirit, that will persevere until the end. And it's not because of us, it's because of Him. It's because of the work of Christ in us, in the Spirit of Almighty God, that we persevere, that we keep on going on. And so that's what carries us through, is the Spirit of God and the grace of God in our lives as a believer. And so I wanted to share this with you for you to understand that what we're talking about here, those that depart from the faith in the book of 1 Timothy, we're not talking about someone that's truly been born again. When it says from the faith, we're talking about from the truth or the doctrine of the Scriptures. From the truth or the doctrine of the Scriptures. They may easily be led astray. They may easily be tempted. They may easily be led astray by the cares of this world, by difficulties in life, or by the lies of Satan himself, by false religion, by false teaching, but they can be led astray. And they will depart from us. As Scripture says, they went out from us because they were not one of us. And in doing so, we recognize that the problem is, as I said this morning, there are those that have a head knowledge of the truth, but not a heart knowledge of the truth. They know about God, but they don't know God. And that's what we see many times as we look back in Scripture and as we look at today. Because as it says here in the first verse of the fourth chapter, in the last times or in the last days, and as we said this morning, this is in the Messianic period. This is the time from the first coming of Christ to the second coming of Christ on earth. And so we are in those days today. And I really believe that we will see more of this as we see the last days approaching. But I also believe this. I was sitting back on the back seat this morning, not because I don't like Nate. I was sitting back in the back because my back was hurting me, and those seats feel better than to sit in them this morning. And I was looking, at all the young couples here. I was looking at all the young couples here, and some of them I don't even know yet. I've got to get to know. But I was thinking what a blessing it was to see them here, because I believe the reason they're here is because they really want to know the truth. They sure aren't here because Nate and I are pretty, handsome, or we're better than anybody else. They're not here for that reason. I believe there are people that are seeking the truth. They want to know what is real. And I really believe with all my heart that one thing that you have to nail down in your life as a Christian is thus saith the Lord. The Word of God is exactly what it says it is. It is the Word of God. Whether you agree with it, whether you like it, or you disagree with it, it is the Word of God. And so I think that is something that we arrive at by the work of the Holy Spirit in our life, that we recognize that in our lives, and it anchors us deep in the grace of God and the Spirit of God within our lives, to where as a believer, even when trials and tribulation comes, we can get through them, not because of who we are, but because of who He is and who He is in our life as a believer in Christ. And so that's what we see here. And the word apostate itself, which means to depart, has the meaning of someone who has departed, but someone that is going out. Someone, as MacArthur says, an apostate is not someone who never knew, but someone who knew. Who knew what? Who knew the truth. Who knew the truth. Someone who knew the truth, but someone who knew not. Someone who knew how to behave, but someone who once behaved according to the revelation of God, but because their heart was never changed, They could not remain in it. You know, you can fool me and Henry a lot of times. Right, Henry? We can be fooled, but God is never fooled. He knows His own. He knows His own sheep, and His sheep hear His voice, and He calls them by name. And so, as we realize this, we realize that this is going to happen because, as the Scripture says clearly, that in the last times, some will abandon the faith. And I want to look at my notes here because I don't want to skip anything, and believe me, I would if I didn't. As I said, the word itself means to depart from, to remove yourself from a former place. It's talking about a purposeful, intentional, deliberate departure from a former position. And believe me, if you don't have a changed heart and you don't have Christ in you, you will fall away. Because those that persevere are those who persevere in the power of the Holy Spirit, because their heart has been changed by the grace of God. And that's what we see as we look at Scripture. Now we want to look at about four things pretty quickly this evening. First of all, we shouldn't be shocked by that because Scripture predicts it. Scripture tells us that this will happen. Scripture tells us that we can expect this to happen sometimes, and many, many will be led astray. I know of some that have been part of the membership here, and for some reason they've gone back to a group of people that meet carrying out the Old Testament dietary laws and other things in the Old Testament, believing, they have been led to believe that that is the way. The problem with these things is most all false doctrine and false religion are talking about external things. Things you can do or things you should not do. You aren't saved by things you can do, and you're not saved by things you cannot do. You are saved by the grace of God. You're saved by the work of the Holy Spirit. It's God and God alone for your salvation. You're kept by the power of God. You're not kept by things you do. I used to have a saying that these telephone posts out here, they don't smoke, drink, or chew, or run with those that do. But they're not saved. They're not saved. Salvation is a work of Almighty God that isn't an external work. It is an internal work that shows itself on the external through the work of the Holy Spirit and the sanctification that comes by the Spirit of God working through us. And so I don't have anything to brag about except God. You don't either. If I have persevered, it's not because I'm such a strong Christian. It's not because I'm something special. It's because of Christ in me. And the same thing can be said of you. And that's what we're thankful for today, because of the work of Christ in us. So the first thing that we see, as we look at it here, as we look back at Matthew and we read the Scriptures there, it is something that is predicted in Scripture that will happen. Something that is predicted in Scripture that will happen. I can give you another Scripture that Paul wrote in Acts chapter 20, verse 29. Before he ever wrote 1 Timothy, and the problems in the church at Ephesus here that are happening now, this is what he said. I know that after my departure, grievous wolves shall enter in, and men who are perverse among you will rise up and deceive many and lead them astray. So we see, not only does the Scriptures predict this, but the Holy Spirit told Paul that this would happen as well, and he warned them of it. He warned them of it. Now he's telling Timothy how to deal with it, how to deal with it within the church at Ephesus there. And so we see, we read, and we learn from the scriptures that this is something that is predictable. Then, as he mentioned here, not only is it predictable, but it is, we look at it chronologically too. In the last days, many shall depart from the faith. And I believe this is a problem that, especially as we get closer to the coming of Christ, that's going to get worse. That's going to get worse. As I mentioned this morning, and I mentioned it again tonight, I have never seen, since I was a teenager, and look at my world and my culture around me. First, we had the sexual revolution where anything goes, and sex outside of marriage is not only okay, but it is pushed, it is seen, it is something that they would tell you is perfectly normal in any relationship. And we went from that to homosexuality and the rights of homosexuals, which according to citizenship, I believe they have the same rights as I do. But according to the Word of God, they're living a sinful lifestyle. And so what we see is not only has it become acceptable, but it has been something that should be accepted by everyone according to what we see in our culture and in our world today. And if you do not accept it, then you are pointed out as someone who is intolerant. Then we have the gender transition that we see in our culture today that has come about. And if I happen to be in school and I think I'm a girl, then I ought to be in the girls' locker room with them when they're changing clothes and when everything else is. That's about the stupidest thing I ever heard of, by the way. But we find that in our culture today. That is unbelievable. That is unbelievable. And, you know, my wife has referred to me many times as a donkey's hind end. But thank God I'm not a donkey's hind end, because I know I am a child of God, okay? But if you was in some places and you said, I feel like I'm a donkey, they would say, go ahead and pray. So we see in our world how Satan and his influence has mixed up everything to destroy the family unit and to destroy the culture that we have in our world today around us. And how that is leading so many people astray in our world today and breaking up families everywhere. And so these are things that we see that are happening in our world today and will probably get worse as we become even closer to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we return to the Lord Jesus Christ. All right. Now then, I want to go to the next thing, if I can find it here. Oh, I want to mention this. When we see these things, we need to understand, as Ephesians chapter 6 says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers in heavenly realms or high places. And we need to understand that all these things that we see are devised, predicated, and given by demonic influence and the work of Satan. Satan has so torn apart the family unit in our culture and in our world today We see so many children that don't understand what a father is. Or we see so many children living with their grandparents today. Their grandparents are raising. I'm glad they've got grandparents that will raise them. But that's not God's plan. That's not the way God meant for it to be. And so we see all this brokenness in our world today. It is no wonder that our world is in the mess that it's in today because of what we see going on in our world today. And as he talks about this, he says, give heed to this. This is something you really have to watch out for in our world and in our church today as well. All right, and he calls them seducing spirits in our world in which we live today. MacArthur said, false teaching does not originate in humans. It originates in demonic influence. And we have to understand that. We have to understand that. We have to understand, and as we mentioned this morning, when I told you about the lady that was a member of our church here before, and she's a grandparent, and her granddaughter went away to the University of Kentucky to school, and then she's a graduate student now, and she comes home and the person who was a member of our church here is talking to her about church, about the Lord, and about Christ, and she says to her grandmother, well, I just don't believe that stuff anymore. That's the influence we have. When we think of false teachers, many times we think, well, we're talking about churches. We're talking about TV preachers. But it has crept into our educational system and our world in every avenue that we see today. Social media, television, our higher echelons of learning. We have this same thing that has permeated our society today and is at work in our world today. I think it's no, and we do, let me say this, we have some wonderful Christian teachers in our public education system. We do. And thank God for them. But I will say this, I understand why many families homeschool. I understand why many families homeschool today to further protect their children as well. And it is a task in itself. And thank God for those that are able to do that, that are able to do that. And so that's something that we see in our world that's important today. Then number four is what I just mentioned. We must recognize not only the source, but that the teachers of false doctrine are those that are being used by demonic influence. I'm not talking about somebody that's possessed by the devil. That can happen, but that's not what we see. We see people that are deceived, and the reason they are deceived because they have never come to the understanding of the truth of the Word of God. I think if you are in a church or a situation that is very legalistic, if they don't understand and they don't grasp the truth of the Word of God, you're not saved by do's and don'ts. You're not saved by keeping the law, which you cannot do. But in many places, they are taught externally, you are right with God by what you do or what you don't do. And it becomes very legalistic. And so there are people in that kind of system that are so suffocated, that are so burdened down, that are so depressed, and have such anxiety trying to live a perfect life that they're looking for a way out. When you do not grasp the truth of the fact that we are not saved because of anything good we do, but by the grace of Almighty God, it gives you the freedom to worship. It gives you the freedom to live out your life thankfully because of the grace of God and Christ in you. It is a wonderful thing to know in the Word of God that you've been saved by the grace of God and you're kept by the grace of God, not anything within yourself. And so you can rest in the grace of God, following the Word of God, knowing that God is true to His covenants and to His promises, and He will see you through. So I can lay my head on the pillow at night and know if I don't wake up here, I wake up in heaven. And knowing that the best is yet to come. When I used to go preach or teach in the nursing homes all the time, every time I did, I would tell them this before I left. The best is yet to come. Your hope in Christ Jesus will come to fruition. It will come to fruition, and nothing can prohibit that. And so as we see that in our life, that helps us to rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. The scripture actually says here that these demonic spirits use men or people who are hypocrites telling lies. Like I said before, you can get away with it for a while, but when hard times come, when the rubber meets the road, when you're going through great trials in your life, the wheat will be separated from the chaff, and you will see those who are truly born again by the grace of God. And the thing that bothers me is many times we see so many people that show up and then disappear. And you wonder, did they have the real thing? Were their hearts really changed by the grace of God? And I think that's where we have to be very careful when we deal with somebody in salvation. Not only that they say a prayer, but that their heart and their life is changed by the work of the Holy Spirit, and it is evident in their life before they're ever baptized, before we ever follow through. And we see that in their life as evidence to the work of an Almighty God. And so, number four, we have to understand that these demonic influence use people in our world in which we live today. And I'm going to get through with this because I want to have a little prayer time together. Number five, not only should we expect them, but we should understand the source that is going on here. And this is what we see. We usually see, Caleb come in late. We usually see false teachers or false religions following everything but the Word of God. It will usually be the Word of God plus this, the Word of God plus that, as we see. And you neither take away from nor add to, thus saith the Lord. What we have is the truth of God's Word. And it is the truth of God's Word that can only save you. It is the work of God's word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so that's what we see in hypocritical false teaching as well, that it's usually this plus something else. You neither add to nor take away from, thus saith the Lord. And that's what I wanted to cover tonight, and I want to have a time for prayer, and it's 17 after, so we're going offline now and to share a few moments in prayer together. I was going to say if that's all right with you, but I don't care if it's all right with you or not. That's what we're going to do. Okay? So, there's not that many of us tonight. So,